book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. If you want to stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God tonight. Found over in the book of the Ephesians, chapter number 4. Paul says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Boy, I'm glad he has me captive. I've let go of him at times, but he's never let go of me. He said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness. He said, matter of fact, I may use you in such a way you may think you go to doing something by yourself. He said, I want to always remind you, remind the church, it's not y'all. It's the God that's in y'all. Then he says, with meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another. That word means to endure or put up with. You know, there are some people you just got to put up with. Amen. That's right. I mean, you got to love everybody and you got to put up with everybody. I done found that out. Look what he says, in love, endeavoring, that means diligently, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Thank you for standing tonight. This word unity is oneness. The Lord expects us as a church family to walk together in absolute unity for His glory. Now, can I tell you that we can agree to disagree? We all have different opinions, different personalities. That's why it's white cars and red cars and black cars. But certainly we can do something for the glory of God, and that's be together. Now let me tell you, it's hard to keep a family together. You'll notice the older your children get and they start going one direction and they start doing their own things. And a lot of times they'll do things that, you know, you'll shake your head and say, why are you doing that? And sometimes, you know, if you live with a feller like me, you'll shake your head. If you was married to something like me, say, why are you doing that? And sometimes I look in what's in this jacket and I say, why are you doing that? Any of y'all ever do that? So it's hard to keep unity in the family. And I'm going to tell you something, in a church, it's always been a challenge to keep unity in the church because it is one big family. And there are no big ones and there are no little ones. And there are not to be any divisions or schisms in the church. Here Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus and he says, now I'm the prisoner of the Lord. And he said, I want you to walk worthy of your calling. And so tonight I want to preach on our Christian behavior. Last week we preached on character. And boy, the Lord sent us something last Wednesday night. I mean, it'd really help you if you apply. But the Lord expects us as a church family to walk together in absolute unity for His glory. And these verses here tell us that unity is not just a possibility, but it is a divine requirement. You're never going to go no place divided. Your company is not going to go any place divided. Our military is not going to win any battles divided. That's why our White House can't do nothing because it's divided. Amen. The Democrat side and the Republican side, and you got their side and his side and her side, and then you got God's side. And so you can't have division and go anyplace. Our country's like a Chihuahua dog chasing its tail. One man's not going to straighten out this outfit because one man here didn't mess it up. The man in the garden messed it up. And they need to be looking at the God man on Calvary to fix it all. Amen. And so there's a choir. If we're to do anything for God, then we've got to be together. And God wants us to be together as a church. In Philippians 1 and verse number 27, In Philippians 1 and verse number 27, the Bible says, only let your conversation, that word there means behavior. So let your conversation or behavior be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. That ought to be our mindset here. We ought to be moving forward. Let hurt feelings go. And let me tell you something. If the devil can divide our church, he'll divide it. And what we've got to realize, we got to grow in the things of God and practice what we preach. And that is not only, no doubt, forbearing one another, but forgiving one another. Now, if you've done something to me, I am to forgive you. To be honest with you, whether you ask me to forgive you or not. I can't worship with a bad spirit in me, and you can't help nobody with a bad spirit. And if you're not careful, friend, the devil will drive a stone of discord in you. And the devil will tell you this, so-and-so don't like you, the preacher don't even like you. Look at you, you don't even do what you used to do. The preacher don't even trust you no more. Preacher don't even like you. Well, if the devil will tell you anything, and what we've got to realize, this thing's a battle. And we've got to stay together. We ought to be here for one reason. That's to glorify our Lord, encourage one another, and see sinners get saved. And so Paul said, he said, boy, I want to see you stay together. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10, endeavoring. Now, we find in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. Now, Corinth was the most worldly church in our Bible. I mean, it was unbelievable what was going on. And here they had some divisions. They were divided about a family matter. Can I tell you, churches always get divided about family matters. Amen. The old saying, you know, blood's thicker than water. Well, it ought not be. It ought to be what God says is what's right. And whether your cousin's wrong or your left-handed sister's wrong, it don't matter. They're wrong. And this book's right. And we got to line up with the book. And if the hair's standing up on the cat, neighbor, then turn him around. He's standing in the wrong direction. It's not the preacher that's causing you an issue. It's this book he's preaching out of. And this book cuts me and hurts me, but I've got to apply myself to it. And now he says, I beseech you that by the name of our Lord Jesus, that ye all speak the same thing. There be no divisions among you. That ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now we ought to have the same mind about our Bible. Well, you'll never go wrong in the Bible. There's one Bible, as far as we're concerned in this church. That's the King James Bible. That's the only Bible we're allowed to teach. That's the only Bible we're allowed, as far as I'm concerned, to come on our property, is a King James Bible. And far as I'm going to be here, I'm going to tell you this. It is my purpose and heart to defend this book that saved Grandpa and saved Grandma and to get my grandbaby saved one day when I'm going on to heaven. We got to have the same mind about the Spirit of God. It takes the Spirit of God to convict sinners and save them. Amen. We got to have a clean church in order for God to move in. This can't be Peyton Place, honey. This can't be the Who's Who Club. It can't be no one family running this church. Don't care what you give. Don't care what you know. God's got to run the church. It can only be one pastor. You can only have one head. Amen. I know I'm not a dictator, but I are the head-tater. Amen. Amen. And so I'm going to tell you, you'll not go any place until you line up and get behind God's preacher and do things God's way. And God will bless His church, but you got to stay together doing it. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a pretty good job to stay lined up with this book. It's a pretty good job to stay lined up with one another. Now, I've got families in here tonight. Christmas will be here 18 years that we started in a little place together. And I'm going to tell you what, far as I know, every family is still in this ministry that started. And I'm going to tell you what, we could have allowed a lot of things to divide us, but you know what? We purposed in our heart, things don't matter in 100 years. We're going to let them go and not fool with them. We've got to stay together. And if you're raising children, you're going to have children issues. You're going to have children problems. We're not going to point our finger at nobody's children. We're going to try to do what God has given us with ours. We're going to pray for our brother and sister's children. I know, honey, for long, egg will be on your face, egg will be on my face. Who are we to say that this one's right and that one's wrong? The book is the final authority. It's what God says so. Whether it's your baby, my grandbaby, your grand, it don't matter. This book keeps us right in the middle of the road. And we've got to stay together for the cause of Christ. And the same one that can pull in here with a Mercedes that's paid off in a $2,000 suit has got just as much place in this church as a fella with overhauls and broke-in shoes. The church was never intended to be the who's who club. So, unity is oneness. First of all, the source of the Christian. I'm glad we have a source. First of all, we all share a common ground. We were all sinners saved by grace. Nobody here can gloat about that we're more saved than somebody else. Nobody here can gloat that we got more blood on us than anybody else. Now, we share a common ground. Now, you'll notice this in verse number 4. We are in one body. One body. There's one body. Now, there's a lot of denominations. God never did come up with so many denominations. I'm a Baptist cause of conviction. Jesus got baptized by the Baptist preacher in town. Somebody say amen right there. Now, I can ask the Church of Christ preacher, and it's what he'll say. He'll say, I think I'm right. You know what I'll say? I know I'm right. And then we ain't going no place. But I can tell you this, in God's eyes, there's one body, and that's the church. That's His body. Christ's body. And so we, in this thing of unity, we have a source of unity. We share a common ground. One body. Now, men look at the church and they see that it's divided into different denominations and different doctrines. I'm big on doctrine. I'm going to preach on doctrine tonight. I'll tell you why I'm a Baptist, because I practice Baptist doctrine. I believe that speaking in tongues, the gift is gone in our day. The Bible says tongues shall cease. I believe that tongues is a form of worship. We don't practice it here. We've got a lot of people here, their families practice that. And all I can tell you this, I'm a Baptist pastor, I preach Baptist doctrine, and they have been led off in that, as far as I'm concerned, in a form of worship. But we don't do that here. Enough said for that. Now then, I want to say this. We practice water baptism. We go under the water. We don't sprinkle nobody. We don't sprinkle babies. Amen. We believe in church membership. We believe in paying our tithe. We believe in preaching out of the same Bible. We believe in dressing right and talking right, amen, and acting right. Some of us even believe in spitting right. Say amen. But I'm going to tell you something. God sees this as a unified body by the blood of the Lamb. Now, certainly, denominations and doctrine has divided a lot of people. Let me tell you, there's a lot of fine people in the Church of God. And a lot of these holy brethren that I preach for, they just have to gag tonight. Hear me well. There's a lot of good people in other denominations that are saved that are good people. Baptist people are not the only ones that's going to heaven, and they're not the only ones that's all right. I know a lot of Baptist churches ain't right. Drama team ain't right with God. Trunk or treat out you under the yard ain't right with God neither. Keep your junk in the trunk.
So there's a lot of places, got a lot of issues, but there's good people everywhere. And don't get caught up on a hobby horse just because you're a little Baptist. We're the only one going to heaven. We're the blood-washed band. We're saved by the grace of God. We're saved by the faith of the Lord Jesus. The blood's washed us clean. The Spirit of God put us in the family of God. And the Spirit of God lives in us and dwells in us and walks in us through this old world. So we all share a common denominator. We were all lost, but now we're found. And you listen to me. I know some of the best Church of God people, they just don't realize they're saved forever. Amen? Good people. Better than some of us. Be careful to say that your little Baptist bride's the only ones that's in. Because it ain't. But we are a Baptist by the doctrine that we believe and we practice here. I think things ought to be decent in order. I think when a woman falls on the floor and her dress tail flies up, that ain't decent. God's not the author of confusion. If a woman stands up and rebukes a preacher when he's preaching, that's confusion. Don't get weak on me now. You got to stand for something or you fall for anything. Y'all think that I'm hard. You ought to come up on the preacher. Some of these have come under. A brother Monroe Wiggins. Ask Brother David Shaddix about him after service. He was hard. Stood for the stuff. Let me tell you something. 50 years ago, preachers preached. And they didn't apologize for their preaching. We share common ground. There's a lot of good Methodist people. But we're Baptists here. I'm not going to take Baptist sign down off the road. And I'm not going to take a cross down off the road because it offends people. We are what we are, and this is what we are. And if you want to go to church here, the door's open. And if you don't, then there's other doors open. We sing out of a redback hymnal. We're not in contemporary music here. I've got a man with me been leading singing in your late 18 years. Well, I've been playing the piano. As far as I'm concerned, they'll do it till I go to heaven. Amen. Got a choir leader, leads old-time songs. As far as I'm concerned, he'll do it till I go to heaven. We're not changing to the Word. Now, we share common ground. Now, we've been washed in the blood. Number two, he says this, not only one body, but he said, verse 4, there's one body, but there's one Spirit. Now, and I won't say, and he's holy. His first work is to convict and enlighten. I'm glad one day he convicted me of my sins. Then he regenerates. He adds the new believer to the body. He indwells, he fills, he seals, he anoints. Paul said, Romans 8 and 9, he said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If the Spirit of God don't live in you, you're not going to heaven. The indwelling Spirit distinguishes between the genuine believer and someone that's simply making a profession. In Jude 17 and verse number 20, a huge difference in having the Spirit of God and not the Spirit of God. I'll tell you how big a difference it is, going to heaven or going to hell. Jude, verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostle of our Lord Jesus, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Go get your preacher to keep you in the love of God. That ain't in the Bible. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And the only way you're going to do that is stay in church and stay under Bible preaching. Source of
of Christian unity. We share a common ground, one body, one spirit. Then he says in verse 4, one hope of calling. Now, I'm glad that I have a hope. The bottom line is, those in the family of God, we all have a hope. Our calling is sure. John chapter number 14 and verse number 1. John 14 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I've told you, I'd go to prepare a place for you. If I go prepare a place for you, look what he said. I will come again. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back to get his church. And we all have that hope that lives in us. You know, there are pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. Pre-trib is what this church is. We believe the Lord will come back before the tribulation period. The mid-trib, I sat under a pastor like that that led me to the Lord. He felt like that the church would go 3.5 years through the tribulation period. Then there's some that believe that there is the post-trib. The church will go 7 years through the tribulation. But let me tell you what I believe. Tonight I believe Revelation chapter number 4 clears all that. After this I looked and behold a door was opened in heaven. After the Laodicean church age is finished, the rapture of the church has happened, we're going to be caught away. Did you know there are mid-tribs, there are post-tribs that won't even let me preach in their church tonight because I'm a pre-trib? What's that got to do with sinners being saved? I had a family call me one time just an excuse, said, well, we're going to be leaving the church. I said, well, why are you leaving? He said, well, we don't believe the way you believe on the tribulation period. I said, what are you talking about? We believe the church go through the tribulation. I said, what's that got to do with you getting your boy saved? You stay here all you want to. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus. You stay in this famine all you want. I'm out of here. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to heaven. I know in whom I believed. A lot of things divide bodies tonight, but we have one hope of our calling. We know the Lord is soon to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And boy, we're going to see the Lord, and we forever will be with Him in glory land. What are you saying, preacher? All them that's saved in Christ is getting up out of the graveyard. We that are alive, are physically alive and remain, we're going to have a changed body and we're going to be caught up with them and we're going home. And you can have anything I got here. Just come on and get it. Because I won't need it no more. We share a common ground. We're in one body. We're washed by the blood. We have one spirit. The Spirit of God indwells us. There's one hope of our calling. And then he says this in verse number 5. He says, there is one Lord. I want to say we may hold all to different convictions, but we all have one confession. Jesus is Lord. It makes Him our sovereignty and our security. Then he says not only one Lord, that has to do with I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. I can go, I can about do anything with anything. Amen. A liberal ain't going to preach in this pulpit. But I tell you what, I'm not going to sit there and shoot and kill him at the supper table. I'm going to try to love him. But I can tell you one thing I cannot tolerate. Jesus is not some way. He's the only way. And if you're going to heaven, there's one road to heaven. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one Lord. And there is one faith. If one Lord says I'm saved, one faith says I'm sure. That's our way out of here. I am sure. One faith. In Jude, verse number 3 tonight, here is Jude was writing to the church. He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. My friend tonight, our faith does matter. Our faith about the Lord Jesus. I want to say He is Christ as God the Son. He is eternal. He is uncreated. He is self-existing. Amen? He's omnipotent.
He's all powerful. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's every place at one time. He's holy. He's loving. He's true. Talking about my faith now. And Christ, He is the second person of the Godhead, co-equal with the Father and the Spirit, possessing all the attributes of deity. He's creator and sustainer of all things. He's Christ as the Son of Man, virgin born, conceived of the Holy Ghost, immaculate, triumphant over our sins and the curse of the world. He's victor over demons. Hallelujah, I'm feeling something now. He's victor over demons, over disease and disaster and death. Why, He's humble and holy. He's loving and lowly. He's patient and pure. He's glorious and gracious. He fulfilled the law. He pleased God. He satisfied the broken law. He went about doing good. He healed the sick and He cast out demons. He raised the dead. He fed the multitudes. He stilled the storms and He walked on the water. I want to say Christ is the one who was rejected. He was betrayed and falsely accused. He was crucified and buried, but whoop, thank God, the third day He got out of the grave. He rose again and He sat down on the right hand of God. He sent the Holy Ghost and He heads the church and He's coming again. That is our faith tonight, friend. And it is a faith that must be defended tonight. We have a common ground. He says, there's one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That's our way of saying I'm separated. If the Lord, I'm saying the Lord, I'm saying I'm saved. Faith is saying I'm sure, but baptism is saying I'm separated. Here He's talking, no doubt, about water baptism. This was the ultimate confession for someone to be baptized. Baptism does not wash away our sins. The Bible says that it answers a guilty conscience. Can I tell you, the believer, when we are baptized, it shows that we have died with Christ. We've been buried with Him, and we've been raised in newness of life, and that is our confession to a lost and a dying world. In a Muslim country, a Christian that makes a profession and is baptized soon, many times, is outcast or killed. But let me tell you tonight, here water baptism is biblical. Infant baptism is not in our Bible. Baptism don't send you to heaven. The blood of Jesus gets you to heaven. But if you're going to heaven, you ought to be baptized. Now, infant baptism is not in the Bible. Acts chapter number 8. Let's look at Philip right quick on the doctrine of baptism. And if you was to be carrying an NIV Bible tonight, yours won't read like mine, so just lay it aside and let me read you the right kind of Bible. Acts chapter number 8. And I don't have time to fuss and fight with you after service about it, so you're not going to straighten me out about it. So just don't waste my time. I'm going home with my family. I don't want to fool with you tonight. Acts chapter number 8, verse 37. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That's not in your NIV Bible. And then he says this, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And watch this now. They went down both to the sprinkling hose. They went both down into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He immersed him. Means he went under. And when they were come, watch this, when they were come up out of the water. Now that is New Testament water baptism. Immersed. Now our Methodist brethren don't practice immersion. Many don't. You know, I'm not going to get out on the yellow line and throw rocks about it, but I will about their woman preacher. That's against the Bible. Sprinkling's against the Bible. But you know, you got to pick your battles. Look what Jesus done, Matthew 3. Somebody said, well, you know, water washes away sins. Well, why in the world would Jesus be baptized? He is a sinless one. He had never known sin. I don't know what them Church of Christ boys are going to do with this verse. Matthew 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him, immersed. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized, immersed of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said to him, suffer it be not so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, watch this, went up straightway, what? Out of the what? And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, if Jesus got baptized, I want to be baptized. Baptism. And then he says this, verse 6, one God. One God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Then he says, one God and Father of all. Do you see that right there? Be careful now. Be careful. Be talking about people in other denominations about they're going to go to hell. You may not know that. We know if they're going to heaven, they're going the way we're going by the blood of Jesus. And guess what? He's the Father of all that are saved. You see, that sort of puts the icing on the cake. Man, I've heard people get up and lamb blast people. Ain't no way they could be saved. Well, if they went through the blood of Christ, they can be. It's a lot of confused Baptists, I know. That's the truth, neighbor. One God, Father of all. Matthew 6:9, the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. See, he is our Father tonight. And isn't it amazing, them boys going to get on a plane tomorrow and they're going to fly all them miles and they're going to land at Albania. They're going to get off the plane and meet some brothers over there that may not be Baptists, but if they're blood washed by the Lord Jesus, God's Son, He's their Father. And we ought to be good to every one of our brothers and sisters. Now, the older I get, you may say I've compromised. You can say I've got liberal. I don't think I've got liberal. I just think I've got a little wisdom about me. You know yourself, if you come up in another denomination, you would be doing as they were practicing. And I can tell you the reason people talk about our church, because they don't know what they're talking about. They think if you don't have a conference, you can't be Baptist. Well, show me a conference in here. Show me where they voted on here to give money out. Somebody show me. Now, I will take time for my family tonight if you will show me that tonight. Because I want to know that. But I can't find it. So, we have one Father. This is the way we run this ministry. And you know what? God has prospered it. God's blessing it. And I'm going to stay with what's worked. There's a family come to us last week. And somebody needed some money. They needed some help. They said they go to church and they can't get help until they vote on it to for Sunday night. Well, what happens for 3 weeks? Sometimes you can't wait 3 weeks. If your cupboard's barren, you want to sit there 3 weeks till church votes on you to do right? I'll tell you another thing as far as voting while I'm there. It embarrasses people. You get down to where you can't pay your bills. You think it's right I stand up and say, Brother Mike Rollins can't pay his power bill? And we're going to pay his power bill? That ain't giving God the glory. That's giving us the glory. I've heard you got to pass W-2s out to join this church. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in all my life. I mean, that is absolutely just an idiot. I heard that people go and lock the doors when I preach.
When you hear anything, people's jealous of where you go to church. Do you know that? They can't stand for somebody to be building on, trying to do something for God. They got to find out what's wrong. What's wrong with just exalting the Lord and preaching about Jesus and go home and love your family? What's wrong with doing the way they done things there? The Spirit of God's here. God's at our church. Let them talk. Let them go down there where it's drier and the corn shuck. Fussing over stuff happened 30 years ago. One God, Father of all. Then, not only is there the source of our Christian unity, but there's a secret to our Christian unity. Verse number 2, we ought to exercise a right walk. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, lowliness, it means humility. Be careful not to roost too high in the tree. Don't be crowing about what you're doing. Because I done found out you can eat crow in a hurry. Meekness, that word is gentleness. It means power under control. You know, it's great to have a 454 motor, but you don't need to put gas to it the whole trip. Use it when you need it. Meekness. Long-suffering, that's patience and endurance. And if we're going to have a church that God wants us to, we've got to be long-suffering. We've got to be patient with people. You know, Sunday night, it's my intention to let some young preachers preach. You know something? They're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes. I've been preaching a long time. But we've got to have patience with people. Sunday school teachers, singers, people in the choir, people that serve. You've got to have patience with people. Raising children, you better get you a bucket load. And let me go and say this. You stay married 31 years, you better learn what some patience is too. None of us are perfect. Forbearing. Forbearing, I done told you, it means to endure or to put up with. It means giving people space to be themselves. Can I say that again because I'm closing? It's giving people to be, let them be themselves. Thank God we've got diversity in our church. I mean, we've got a great, diverse mix of people here, and I thank God for it. But we all need to give people space to be who they are. You can still have standards and go to church and do right. Amen. The secret of Christian unity is to exercise the right kind of walk. Lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing. And then, not only exercise the right walk, we ought to embrace the right work in verse number 3. Endeavor to keep the unity in the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then, lastly, not only the source of our Christian unity and the secret of our Christian unity, but there's a satisfaction of Christian unity. First of all, it leads to a balanced life. Well, I'm glad we can have a balanced church. Quiet preachers, loud preachers. Shouting preachers, crying preachers. Loud singing, low singing. A balance. Balanced life. You know, this word has the idea, this bond of peace, of this unity, has an idea of balance as we walk together in unity. You know something? Your convictions may not be my convictions. And I ought to not preach my convictions on you. I can't go out and ride a new motorcycle. Some of you can. I'm not going to preach and throw rocks at you that can. Amen? That's my convictions. I really don't have no Bible here to say I can't ride a motorcycle, but God won't let me go buy one in big street bikes. I wish He would. And you know, It's just some things God won't let me do that He'll let you do. Them's my convictions. That don't mean that everybody here's got to look like Ken Bowman. We can be ourselves and love Jesus and love one another and worship Him in spirit and truth and have a balanced life. And have a, you know, matter of fact, the best thing you'll ever be is who God called you to be. I came up under a man preaching. I learned a lot from him. And he wore pointed-toed cowboy boots. I went and got me a pair. Well, they'd cripple a dog. But I thought everybody, you know, preached, wore pointed-toed cowboy. I went and got me a pair, and I looked like, you know, a crow hopping around trying. So now, you know what I'm preaching? I preach in Joy golf shoes. Those are the most comfortable thing in the world. And I can preach in them or play golf in them. I like that diversity. That's a conviction thing, you see. There's a lot of preachers put me in hell tonight because I ain't wore a tie on Wednesday night. Well, where's that in your Bible? The Bible just says to dress decent. Aren't I decent? I'm comfortable. It's Wednesday night. I mean, we got nothing here to prove, have we? We got standards. I'm not up here in a pair of culottes or trying to do right. So don't throw stones at me. Where's your tie at? I wish I could preach in a pair of overalls every time I got up and prayed. So see, we can have unity and be different. Amen. Brother Randy, Brother Adam, their deliveries are totally different than your pastor. They feed you. I know some of you like my style of preaching. You like theirs. You like Brother Mike's. We can be different and get along. This is the problem in independent fundamentalism that I've seen coming up under those type of preachers. They got the right doctrine, got the Spirit of God, but they're so legal and mean, nobody can sit under them. If your hair ain't a certain way, then you ain't right with God. And if you're not dressed just to a T, you're not right with God. Well, just dress decent. Just cover yourself, you know. And long as you taking a bath, doing the best you can do, and you're pretty clean, I got no issues. I wish the ladies would stay looking nice. We ought to respect the house of God. I'm not coming down on standards. I'm just saying, don't put your nose up in the ceiling and be too stiff for God to use you. You know? Everybody don't like a Suburban, but I love it. Everybody don't like deer hunting. I love it. I love play golf. Some of y'all love football. I hate it. But I'm not going to tell you crazy because you love football. You know, we can agree to disagree, but we got to agree in this book right here. It's what he said. Thank you all for being here tonight. Stand with us.